The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back. UAB Director's Chair. He's the Athletic Director for UAB Blazers. So Mark Ingram joins us every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio. Audacity, wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can find us. Of course, the show airs at least five times a week live on Tony Curry Radio. I was actually at a meeting this morning and someone came up and said, man, I've been a fan of yours forever and blah, 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 blah. And sorry, but what are you doing now? And he's like, I know you got out of the jocks thing like 5 years ago. And I showed him, I had the app on. And of course, I turned it on. The UAB Director's Chair was actually playing this morning at 6:30 in the morning. I was like, there you have it, because we move things around so you can get a little, but pretty much from 6 o'clock in the morning to like 7 o'clock at night, every hour on the hour, we have a different show airing. It's just fantastic. And again, you can go check out those shows wherever you do your favorite podcast. First of all, you doing good? Everything fine? We got a lot to get into.
All good, man.
I want to ask you, we're doing this show here on what is the day, the 13th? Yes. Of November. So that means we got 17 days till December 1st. And December 1st is a very important day for college football because that is when the CFP has to decide what in the world they're going to be doing for the 2026 season. Normally, they're about 12 to 18 months ahead of the turn here, but this year they're not. And as of right now, we have a 12-team playoff. Everyone thinks it's going to go to 16, but they all have to decide. Well, I'd say they all have to decide. The Big Ten and the SEC have to decide whether they can play like big boys together before they can tell everyone else what we're going to be doing next season. I can't imagine them wanting to go there. They're talking about punting it for another 12 months. We're doing the 12-team playoff. Right now, they just can't figure out who's going to get in. The SEC obviously has a different way of looking at it. The Big Ten wants four teams in from each of the Big Ten and the SEC. And then you'd have three bye teams. Just blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I can't imagine the CFP not figuring out a way to get another week of college football, which is another week of revenue under their belt in time by December 1st. And then the bowl executives, who, of course, have their own thing where they're tied into each individual league and or conference based on who wins what and who's going to the bowl games. They're waiting on the CFP first as well. So can you talk a little bit about that and tell me what you think as an athletic director of a big time school? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, what I'm reading, I'm not certain they're going to 16. I think there's a lot of angst around that for a number of reasons, and those reasons kind of vary. Some people think it's too many games. Some people think it isn't necessary. Some people think I think if you look at last year, I don't think that they seeded the teams properly, and they're already adjusting that for this season. But like it was very obvious, even in the 12-team playoff last year, that probably call it teams 7 through 12, maybe even teams 5 through 12 were very different than the top four.
Yeah.
And so you've got to start wondering, this isn't the basketball tournament. And if the quality of play is as different as it appeared to be, or did teams like Tennessee just have a bad day? Did Indiana or did SMU just have a bad day? And maybe they did. Maybe it was poorly seeded. And again, I think that last year, and look, I'm all for being a G6 guy. I'm all for, you know, the G6 teams getting in, but how does Boise get a bye last year?
Yeah.
And if you look at all four teams that had a bye, they all lost their first game when they did play. So that I think reseeding is good. I don't think the 16 is automatic. And then the issue is, using that word, automatic, is the automatic qualifiers. The SEC is claiming that they're good to not have AQs, but that the Big Ten wants them. So, yeah, that's where they've got to figure out a compromise and how they're trying to decide that and why one group favors it over the other. You can make the assumption, you know, why they're favoring it, because it guarantees access.
And listen, and I get your vibe on you know, certainly this year it is as wide open as it's ever been. I mean, I guess Ohio State and Alabama have kind of separated themselves just a little bit. But we've seen, you know, Memphis go down to UAB. We've seen some crazy games happen this year, as we do every year. But I mean, after like the third or fourth team, like you said, anyone can beat anybody. It at least appears that way, which is a lot of fun. I like the idea of expanding it to 16 because I do believe then more group of five teams are going to get a chance to get in. Right now, it's going to be one. Maybe a North Texas and a South Florida gets in. I don't know.
Don't kid yourself. G6 people's G6 leaders are not involved in that conversation.
Yeah.
So don't start kidding yourself thinking that somehow the people in charge of that who are making that decision are thinking of us in that. They're not.
It is unfortunate.
Like basketball tournament. They're not talking about expanding that so that somehow we can get in.
Yeah. It is unfortunate from the standpoint that I feel like the only way you're going to have a real shot is to be undefeated, which is hard to do in any league, period. Yeah. I mean, BYU is sitting there on the cusp.
I'm all for automatic qualifiers for the league champions.
Yeah.
Even if it's just the P4 champions and the one G6 champion. I'm fine with AQs there, but then it's like, hey, man, the best teams ought to be in. Let's stop talking about this. This is silly. If you're so great, just be great and then play people and beat them. Like,
yeah.
And that's gonna vary over time. Like the SEC was big this past year in the basketball tournament, but they'd never had that many people in the tournament before. And the ACC used to dominate that. Well, they didn't have as many. Well, that doesn't mean that this year that'll be that way, or next year, the year after that. So it kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
The other thing that it impacts that we've got to be cognizant of is the number of teams that are in the playoff and the dates in which they play. It also impacts decisions around things like the transfer portal window. When is that? So they moved it this year. It used to be basically the month of December.
Mm-hmm.
Call it December, 1st to 28th. Now it's January 2nd to 16th. And the thought there was, well, let's, get through the holidays and let's not have kids opting out before bowl games. And I appreciate that, kind of. Because the downside is these aren't pros. They have to go to school. And so the spring semester is starting and some places go back to school on like January the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some places we go back this year and it's different every year. This year we go back on the 12th. So not in theory, somebody's going to go into the transfer portal the last day somewhere. Whether there it might be our athlete, might be someone else's athlete. But maybe a kid wants to come here. And they get in on the last day. They get into the portal on the 16th. We've already been in school for 4 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the kid wants to visit. Okay, great. Hey, man, if you're interested, come on, visit. We'd love to have you. You got to apply, be accepted. That's a process, and there's integrity involved in that admissions process that no university is going to they're not going to be pushed, to make a decision or to bend on. They are going to uphold the integrity of their process. And then you got to get them into class. You got to create a schedule. Now they're going to start at best probably 10 days into the semester.
It sounds like one of those bad dreams I have, where you show up at college and the college has started 3 months ago and you don't even know where your locker is. Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's the thing to deal with. Now, some places don't go back until like the 21st of January.
Yeah.
In that case, they're advantaged. But the places, like we're kind of in the middle at UAB this year.
Yeah.
Last year, it was actually to our benefit because the dates were different. This year, we're kind of in the middle. But anyway, that's also part of the ripple effect by the 16-team playoff.
Yeah. Donald Trump was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and was, I don't know why he's showing up different places. And obviously he's very polarizing. So people will always talk about where he shows up, but he was talking about, college football is in a heap of trouble because if they don't have some type of salary cap or something like that, he was smart enough to know that a lot of colleges don't make a lot of money. He said, they're going to have a lot of places going broke and they're just going to have to quit. And particularly for these other teams. And he kind of made some analogy with Olympics and this, that, and the other. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit because he didn't tell us anything really new, but how is this playing out as far as the money goes with basketball season? Now that basketball season's underway, we got people obviously making money there too. You're not talking about 120 guys. You're talking about 12 or 5 guys on a team. And are you seeing the same type of parity you are seeing like in the college football pay scale, or how does that work out? How's that look? Because I don't hear anybody talking about that at all.
Yeah, I think the basketball players, they have always been, there has never been a group more pampered in college sports than men's basketball. And they get the most. They have the nicest spaces. There's just a few of them. They travel the best. They eat the best. And that's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just, Kentucky and North Carolina. And by my estimation, looking at our squad and looking at others, they also get paid more per person, even if their total budget is smaller than, say, football's, but they only have 12 guys, to your point. So they're each making a lot more money than anybody in any other sport. So I don't know if it's true. I mean, well, I shouldn't say I don't know if it's true. The Vanderbilt coach said that their squad was $8.9 million.
Wow.
$8.9 million across 12, 13 guys. Are you kidding me? They were good. Listen, man, they were good. No offense to them, but.
Yeah, not $9 million good. It's interesting because, we always think to ourselves, and the Dodgers just pulled it off. You know, they bought the championship, right? And so you're thinking to yourself, if you're only talking five guys you got to pay, and you're a blue blood and you really want your programs to play well, Kentucky was always Kentucky because it was Kentucky. You know, right. It was great seeing them play Louisville the other night, and you got your Dukes and your North Carolinas, and they're always going to be pretty decent because of who they are. But now all of a sudden, when you're talking about, and that's what makes college basketball so fun, is the Cinderellas. When you're talking about, the College of Charleston's and some of these other smaller schools that perhaps get a big booster or a big buyer behind them, all of a sudden they can start competing at a different level. Can they not?
Yes. If they have that, but the blue bloods typically have more fans and have so over, historically over time. And so they're going to have more people interested and or willing to pay. It is possible that a VCU could have some billionaire that's just overzealous about making sure that VCU basketball is great. But I mean, maybe they have that. You're talking about, do they have that person, and is that person interested in spending their money that way?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know it's an argument.
We got a big fan. Yeah. He's got a lot of money. Does he want to spend his money on that?
Yeah. He'd probably rather have his name on a hall somewhere and put his name on a building or something like that. And it's just an argument you make, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's certainly something that you'd want to look at. Do you believe there'll be a salary cap? Do you think first of all, there has to be a salary cap, correct?
Well, if there is one, I don't know enough about the law, but I understand that there's some legal challenges around that, creating that. But I agree. I didn't see the interview with Pat McAfee, but I agree with the concept that, understand this, there's 2,000 athletic departments across the country at all levels. There's only like 28 of them that operate with a surplus every year, meaning that don't operate and fall into the red. And everybody, and I'm talking about the highest resource programs out there, everybody receives some money from their university, even the ones that say they don't, they do.
Yeah.
And you go, well, how's that possible? Well, they may not receive cash. We refer to the support from the university in two ways. One is direct support, which is cash. One is indirect support. Indirect support doesn't show up on your spreadsheet. And it's not part of my budget. At UAB, the university grounds crew mows all of our grass. Mm-hmm. I don't have to pay them to mow the grass because they mow all the grass on campus, including our grass. Some places have a central budget to pay for utilities for the entire campus, which would include the College of Business and the arena. But that's a bill. If it's a bill you don't have to pay, that is what's referred to as indirect support. Everybody is getting something like that. And so my point is simply, and this comes back to the interview with McAfee, is that where's the money going to come from? If we got to keep paying more money to the athletes to be here, where's the money come from? So you're either going to tax your other students that are not athletes by adding student fees, and the cost of college just becomes greater, which is harder, makes it just harder to go. Mm. And if it's harder to go and people stop going, well, how do you pay the faculty and how do you pay to run the place? I mean, if you don't have students, you don't have a university. And if you start having to cut other parts of the university to give more money to athletics, well, then you've diminished the experience of the university, right? Other services, probably you're like, hey, we don't have as many counselors anymore. So hope everybody's mental health is good. We're just going to wing it and go from 20 to 15 because we got to take the money from five of these professional counselors and spend it on something else. Or, hey, we used to offer in the meal plans, you know, three meals a day, except for only two on Sunday. Well, now it's only one on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing because there's money out there, but I just don't know where it goes. I don't know who has it. And it's just amazing how it keeps showing up at different places. Speaking of dollar amounts, I want to talk about some rock and roll here in just a second, because my favorite band just announced another 12-city jaunt through North America next year. And I'm so happy about it, but I want to share that with you. And I think you probably know who I'm talking about. But you got a couple of monster games. Listen, I love competition. I love seeing great competition. I love seeing great teams come into Birmingham to do anything, whether it's NBA, college basketball, whatever. And you got a couple of great games coming up down at Protective with the South Florida Bulls, who right now are in the playoffs, according to the CFP. They got the 11th or 12th seed, I believe it was. They're ranked 24th overall. And, of course, you got North Texas, the Mean Green, who's having a magnificent season, a really fun football team to watch, to get up and down the football. They remind me a lot of Memphis and they had a knockdown drag out with Memphis earlier in the season. But those are your two next games. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I know it's near the end of the season. I know the team hasn't had the type of season you've wanted to have, but I think a lot of people want to see Alex Mortensen do a great job and get that gig. He's one of those kind of guys. You just meet him one time, you root for him. I'm not saying they're going to win these games. They're an 18-point dog in North Texas, but you still get to see some really good quality football, and I think that's something to hang your hat on. People need to get down there and support the Blazers, for sure.
Yeah, well, we had a great crowd for the Memphis game, and it mattered.
Yeah, and it looked great on television, too, by the way.
It was, and it mattered, and there was a great crowd there, and it was a fun game, and obviously we won, and the crowd mattered. They really did. And, you know, look, man, we haven't played the way we want, but we joined the American Athletic Conference because we wanted tougher competition. We wanted bigger-name schools coming in. I know North Texas was with us in CUSA, but they were also one of the better teams in CUSA, along with us and a couple others. And they're receiving votes in the top 25. We play at 1 o'clock this afternoon. It is not in conflict with Alabama or Auburn. And then we have South Florida, as you mentioned, coming in, who's picked to be in the CFP.
Yeah.
So, like, we've got two games. That game's at 2 o'clock next weekend. Also not in conflict. And so, support these kids and support Birmingham and all the reasons that we brought football back and all the reasons that we wanted to be in the American. Come down. It's a beautiful stadium. The weather's supposed to be spectacular this Saturday. Come watch a football game and give our kids the support that they need, you know, from the fan base to go play their best. We've seen that they're capable. And so as they try to minimize mistakes, which was really the key to their victory against Memphis, was we only had four penalties against Memphis, four. That was huge. When you look at UConn, who we lost, you know, I think UConn is a good football team. They're certainly not unbeatable by us. Our rushing yards, our passing yards, and our time of possession is nearly identical. But we had, I think it was 12 penalties and three turnovers. So if you can minimize these kind of self-imposed mistakes, you got a chance to beat UConn. And the same thing at Rice. We're down at Rice. We're winning in the first half.
Yeah.
First half, two penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, nine.
Yeah.
And so these are correctable things. Here's the good news. The team, I'm going to say this, I think I've said it on your show. Trent Dilfer said it in the locker room after the loss at Florida Atlantic. He says, you're not a bad football team. You're just playing bad football. And that's the deal. They're not a bad team. They have talent. We absolutely are capable. And so the crowd being there is motivating to the kids. It is really motivating, and it might be just the lift and the energy to help them beat another, you know, really good football team. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm a dreamer, but if you would knock off either North Texas or South Florida, you know, you could be a spoiler to knock off South Florida, to knock them out. You could say you knocked out two playoff teams.
Yeah.
Because Memphis had a playoff spot before they played UAB and they lost. So that would be kind of fun to say. I know it's not the season we looked at, but right now you have to find a silver lining on anything, and you're setting your sights on next season already. And that would be a lot of fun. And again, it's just a great stadium, a great place to go down there, and the weather's supposed to be fantastic. So get down there and check out and enjoy some fall football, and you can do it right here. We only have 3 weeks left, so we're running out of time.
Well, and South Florida's got Navy this week.
Yeah.
So look, South Florida's got to play Navy, and they're a team. You know, 2 years ago, Trent Dilfer's first year, we beat South Florida. Mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer's second year, we were up 19 to 7. We're up 19-7 in the third quarter and then let that one get away from us. Yep. So we should have beaten them last year as well. This is not, they're talented, but again, we're not without talent, and they've got to play Navy this week, and we got a tough game against North Texas. They got a tough game against Naval Academy, and so who knows what next week could look like.
It's going to be something else. Classic Rock, did you see who just announced 12 more cities that they hung it up? And they're coming back for North
Is
America.
It Journey?
It's AC/DC. I'm so because we were supposed to go to the Nashville show. I was taking my son to it. We got a half an hour outside of the stadium, Nissan Stadium, and they canceled the flipping thing because of bad weather. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And of course, they rescheduled the following night. And my son's never seen a classic rock show. I ended up taking him to Def Leppard.
What did you do with the tickets?
Huh?
What did you do with the tickets?
We didn't buy tickets. We didn't have any tickets left. I was going to get tickets when we got there. I was told by several people, when you're going to see a stadium show, it really makes no sense to pay $700-$800. I'm not going to pay that anyway, but you're not going to pay $800 for great seats because you're in a flipping stadium. You know what I mean? I mean, you're there anyway. So I was told just to get there and then I work my way down. It was going to be a mosh pit anyway. So that's what I was planning on doing. But yeah, they're coming to Atlanta in August. They set 12 dates, and I could not be happier. And I told my son, now it's another year. I mean, you know, they're not getting any younger. But if the fact that they get a chance to see them, or a chance he gets to see them. So I'm pretty excited about the fact that they're still back on the road and doing their thing. So I thought that was good. And I know how much you love AC/DC. So we'll have to get after it and get on with that too. So that'd be good stuff. All right, my man. Basketball, real quick. Talk about them. Then we'll let you fly. Rough riding, but we knew we had 12 new guys coming on the staff, so we're feeling each other way out, and it's a long season.
Yeah, you know, Andy has had a tendency every year that he's been here to get better as the season goes on. Yep. This year, I have no doubt that he'll be the same way. Yeah, tough start. I think Alabama State's pretty good. I mean, based on what I watched, I was shocked at how good they are. Not because they beat us. They looked like a good basketball team. And a little bit almost like what we're just talking about in football. We just got to stop turning the ball over as much. We've turned it over too much. We got to be a little more secure with the ball. We have improved at the free throw line. We were like abysmal. I think it was the Western Kentucky night, maybe we were like 48%.
Yeah.
And then we played our first game against Mississippi Valley and we were up to 60%. And then the other night we were 70%. So we're starting to get closer to where that needs to be. So that's positive. We haven't been good beyond the 3-point line yet. We're like 6 of 48 or something on the season.
Yeah.
Alabama State had a kid who made 6 by himself the other night. And he looked smooth.
Yeah, he's good.
He knew what he was doing. But, you know, look, I got faith in Andy Kennedy, and I know our fans do too, but it's no different than football, man. Let's not get, after game one, get down on these guys and not support them. The crowd makes a huge, huge difference. And our student crowds have been a lot of fun. They've been way up this year. I mean, way, way up this year. So let's get everybody else. Like even our season ticket holders who bought tickets, we need you to show up to the games. And yes, if you don't have tickets, please get them. So come support the Blazers, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll play tomorrow night, Friday night against High Point, who historically, meaning over the last, you know, decade, they're a team that competes for their conference championship every single year. So
I'm in now.
I doubt that they too, like us, will be a good basketball team.
I think my boy may be coming in town just to see that, because I think we're planning on going to see some college football on Saturday. So that'll work out really, really good. All right, dude, go do your thing. Winner, chicken dinner. Let's get some wins this weekend. Greatly appreciate everything you do. And we will catch up next week, my man.
Thanks, pal. The Blazers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.